Welcome to Shaped by Faith with your host, Teresa Rowe. To find out more about Shaped by Faith and Teresa Rowe, please visit shapedbyfaith.com or visit the YouTube channel, Facebook, or Instagram. And now, here is Teresa Rowe.
Welcome to Shaped by Faith. We shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. I have a very special guest today, Bobby Hayden Jr. He's a singer, songwriter, he's a musician, and he started a cardboard box ministry that helps people across the United States. Those people find hope again through his ministry. And his faith-based ministry, recovery ministry, moved to Hendersonville about 4 years ago, but the program's been going on for about a decade. And so he's helping people all over the U.S. experiencing homelessness and people with addictions, helping them find hope. And Bobby started it all when he first began sharing his story. And so he's going to share his story with all of us today. Welcome to Shaped by Faith, Bobby.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I love the way God connects people, you know, for his purposes. It's just amazing.
Well, geographically speaking, I was born in Evansville, Indiana.
Okay, close.
I knew lots of musicians from Henderson and Owensboro, and I felt a connection when I saw your podcast and what you were doing. It just seemed like a no-brainer because people in addiction and homelessness, it's on my heart, and provide a one-step program of hope, which his name is Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And being from your neck of the woods, I thought, what a good place to get the message out.
No, I appreciate
so thank
that.
You for reaching out to me.
Absolutely. So were you raised in a Christ-centered home? Did you go to church when you were a kid?
Yes, I was born in Evansville, Indiana, like I say, on the west side. I went to grade school at St. Agnes Church. I was raised Catholic.
Okay.
And I didn't go to school a lot because when I was very young, my mom and dad noticed that I had some musical talent, and they took me up there to Chicago to do that Ted Mack Amateur Hour. And after that, Milton Berle shows and Las Vegas and the Tonight Show. And I became a legend in my own mind by the time I was 10 years old. And I was addicted to applause.
Wow.
I love the accolades. And as we both probably know, and your listeners probably know, it always doesn't work out real well for child-type stars. It's too much too fast. And it doesn't just have to be music. It can be athletics or whatever a young child. We just can't take ourselves too seriously, especially at a young age. But after the Beatles got on television in the 60s, my mom and dad, they didn't want me to pursue music anymore. So they sent me to Catholic High School in Evansville, modern day. And after a couple years there, they suggested I try public high school. And I went to the public high school, and it actually got worse. There I was trying to fill my bucket, and it didn't have a hole in it. After I had received a lot of accolades as a child, I was the class clown, and I just didn't adapt to being being normal. I thought I was special.
Well, you are. You are. We're all special in God's eyes.
In a bad way.
I know.
I wouldn't trade any of it because it landed me right where I am today. But I ran away at 16 and moved to around the country playing in rock and roll bands until the middle 70s. And then I went to Los Angeles, and I went out there to fulfill my dream of getting rich and buying cars and having lots of girlfriends. And that was all I knew was show business my entire life. And I got to L.A. I ran around with a few guys that worked for Ozzy Osbourne. I got on TV, MTV during the 80s for a short stint. And I just continued to become a legend in my own mind.
Okay, Bobby, can I back up just a few decades? Okay.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so did you take voice lessons or anything like that, or music lessons when you were a kid? Or how did your mom know you had talent? I mean, was it something you just went around the house singing, or what happened there?
I'm so glad that you asked me that. We had a piano in the house.
Okay.
And I would crawl up on the piano as a little baby. I could hardly make it up there. And when I was 4 or 5 years old, I started writing songs on the piano.
Four or five? That's young.
I started playing piano when I was 6 or 7. And I wrote songs. One of my first songs I wrote was a song called Son of Abraham. And I didn't know who Abraham was. And this came out of me. And as soon as mom noticed I had some talent, she bought all the Frank Sinatra records, all the Bobby Darin records, all the Tony Bennett records. And every day after school, I had to learn these records and sing these songs. And I became like a little stand-up Frank Sinatra. It was quite a cute novelty act.
How did she get you on the stage, Bobby? I realize if, you know, as a mom, you realize your child has talent, but how do you get them up on the stage? That's not an easy task.
You buy me a new bicycle.
Oh, gotcha.
And you buy me things, and you tell me how good I am. And when I was young, they used words like charisma.
Correct.
And they said his poise is like a veteran's, and they said his showmanship was so good. Well, now being saved and recognizing truth, those words were anointing and favor.
There you go.
And that's what we had it out of place a little bit. And by the grace of God, I finally learned the difference between those worldly words and kingdom words.
Yes, it's being bold for Christ and having that anointing to move in your purpose, which for you is, you know, you're singing, you're writing songs, you're helping people that are homeless. So you are moving in your purpose. And we're going to back up and go over your story a little bit more because we've got some time. But as far as your mother, I'm sure she was like a stage mom.
To the max, on steroids.
Okay. So... like, did she go to the producer of the show and say, you've got to hear my son? How did she get you to the place where you were as a child?
They brought me to Nashville at a very young age, and we signed with an agent. And I'll just tell you one little story. My mother in Palm Springs, California, one time, Lawrence Welk was playing golf, and my mother chased him across the golf course to tell him that his show would not last unless he booked me on that show.
Oh, my goodness.
And Lawrence Welk was on there for 50 some odd years.
Yes.
But that's the kind of, she wanted the best for me. She knew it was in me. She recognized the talent. God bless her. It's all she knew. We got to remember our parents grew up during the Depression years, and money was very short. And this was something that was so bright and shiny. She just had to have it for me.
So did
and
they
then
pay?
I had to have it for me.
Oh, I got you. Did they pay you well back then, or how did that work out?
A national television show for Milton Berle, they gave me $2,500.
Wow.
And my dad put it in a bank account, and I got it when I was 18 years old.
Wow, that's pretty good for back in the day.
But my father spent more money than we made because it was all about the exposure, the traveling. We would go to New York, and there'd be Broadway shows like Oliver. Mm-hmm. And I would audition for Oliver, and went to California and auditioned for some Leave It to Beaver type roles.
Yes.
And they wanted long hair, and I had a burr cut. And then they wanted a burr cut, and I had long hair. Seems like, well, it says in the Word of God that you can do nothing without me.
That's right.
And now I'm a believer. I can see how he was in this the whole time, protecting me. Because quite frankly, if I would have had any more success or fame at that age, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Oh, I understand. I do. Let's take a quick break, Bobby, okay? Commercial break. We'll be right back. Everyone with Shaped by Faith, stay tuned. Welcome back to Shape by Faith, where we shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. And it's where I get to interview inspiring guests like Bobby Hayden Jr., who's telling us about his life. He was famous as a child, and he is famous in the eyes of God because he's now moving in his purpose that he was created for. Bobby, I love the way you're sharing your story. I love how God circles us back to our beginnings. He molds and shapes us, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
He certainly does. Okay, so why did you run away from home at the age of 16?
Well, I had been used to crowds giving me applause and accolades, and the music bug really bit me hard, but the show business bug bit me even harder. Uh-huh. Just walking in a room and being noticed, and it's to everybody wants love and to feel special and to have a purpose, and I was no different. And in high school, I was kind of I was trying to fill my bucket with all the wrong things. Mm-hmm. I started using marijuana, maybe drinking a little beer once I went to the public school, and that made me feel a little better. But I knew that I wasn't fulfilling my talent, and I just wanted to be famous because that's all I knew. And one day I had a chance to go with a rock band to the Great Northwest, and I took it. I got in a car, and I was about 16, 17 years old.
I bet that hurt your mama's heart just a little bit.
Yeah, but they had put up with quite a bit. I wasn't an evil child, but I was very mischievous. I couldn't focus. It just seemed like I was all over the place all the time, trying to find something that would fill this empty void that I had. And that empty void was just the show business.
That's right. And we all have that until we fill it with Jesus. You know,
yes,
everyone
man.
Seems to be out there searching until they figure out that, Jesus is the only one that can fill this hole.
Yes,
in our
man.
Heart. So, okay, you had mentioned before MTV, and I don't want to stay on that very long, but at what stage of your life did you perform on MTV? That was a big deal back
that
in the day.
A big deal. I even remember saying, boy, if I could just get on MTV, I wouldn't care what happened after that. I was about 25 years old. I'd been in LA a couple years, and a couple managers picked me up. And like I say, I moved in with some of Ozzy Osbourne's musicians and the 80s hair bands. We all lived in North Hollywood, a lot of us. So it was just one big party. And for lack of better words, sex, drugs, and rock and roll just burnt me out. And I just ran the gamut with things that could hurt me. My lifestyle was just all about me.
Right.
Everything was about me and the way I felt, and all these worldly things were so shiny and so glitter. The glitter filled halls of MTV. One guy said
it. There you go. Bobby. You went from performing on the stage, and then you had an addiction. You know, you're in the party scene, and then the next thing you know, you find yourself homeless. So how did that transpire?
Well, in the 80s, there was a pandemic cocaine problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that my cocaine addiction led to a heroin addiction by the 90s.
Okay.
And I was a functioning heroin addict for a while. And then about 97, I went down into the inner city, Los Angeles, and I purchased heroin. And I got high, and I went behind a row of bushes. And I stayed behind that row of bushes for about 2 years. And I met a guy that could take me out on the freeway. And he got me a little sign that said, I will work for food. And I stood on the side of the road. They call it panhandling. You see them in every city. Mm-hmm. And I stood there from daybreak to sundown, begging for money. And all that money was to feed my heroin addiction. And at first, I thought I was scamming and hustling and getting over on people, because the money was my ticket to buy drugs, which it is in a lot of cases. But after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I was out there for almost 10 years.
Wow.
I became that homeless indigent who just wanders around. Mm. Like those Israelites did for the first 40 years, only instead of wandering around a mountain, I wandered around a dope house.
Mm.
And I just stayed stuck. And it got very, very dark. My injection sites they mutilated my veins in my arms and my neck. So I started to inject in my legs. And I wouldn't take a bath for about a year at a time.
Oh, wow.
Because the worse I looked, the more money I made. People felt sorry for you, and they gave you money. And so.
Well, Bobby, did anybody try and, like, help you besides with money? Did anyone come alongside of you and say, hey, there's a different life for you, Bobby, or let me help you out and get this figured out, or not?
There were about 3 or 4 people that I recognize now, which they seemed to have a glow about them. They didn't beat me over the head with the Bible. Mm-hmm. They wanted to help. They wanted to know if they could if I could go to their house and take a bath. They would buy me food on a regular basis. But there was one man that owned a bakery. His name was Mr. Esperanza. Uh-huh. And he said, when you're hungry, you come to me and I'll feed you. And I went to this man a lot, and we became friends. And he had a Bible sitting right on the donut where the donuts were. And he never picked it up. He never hit me over the head with it. But he just I knew that he cared for me.
Right.
So that kept the door open between me and him.
So he was living a life that was Christ-like, and you noticed that in him.
I didn't notice it at the time, but the big, my epiphany was when this man came to me one day and put me on a bus to a rehab.
Oh.
And the day before, I was in a dumpster and I cried out to God, if you're real, send me some hope.
Mm.
And then the next day, this man put me on a bus to a rehab, and his name was Mr. Esperanza. And when I got to the rehab, the fella said, do you know what Esperanza means in Spanish? And I said, no. He said, well, it means hope.
Oh, wow.
And I just had to gather myself and go into the bathroom and look in the mirror and say, what's going on here? And that's when everything slowly started to turn around. And maybe in the next segment.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that. Now, how long were you, do you know how long you were in rehab?
I spent 1 year in the desert in Phoenix. And all of a sudden, my entire family from Indianapolis, Indiana, showed up on an airplane.
Wow.
And I, I knew that God was moving in my life. I had turned on Christian television. I got myself a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I read the red parts because I couldn't find any pictures. Things just started to change. I quit smoking cigarettes. I got off the medication. And I did all this in a year's time. So about the day they showed up, I was clean for the first time in 40 years. And we got on an airplane and we all went back to Indianapolis, Indiana. And then the miracles continue to just blow me away.
Let's take a quick break because we want to hear more. Okay, Bobby, We'll be right back with more Shaped by Faith. Everyone stay tuned. Welcome back to Shaped by Faith. Bobby, your story is amazing. It's intriguing me so much. So you're in rehab for a year. Your family flies out there to get you and they bring you back home.
Yes. And it didn't stop. One leap of faith when I got on that bus to that rehab. Without a doubt, that's what started this whole thing in motion, was that one step of faith, knowing that God was in this a little bit. So we got back to Indianapolis, and I gave guitar lessons, and I started teaching children. Oh. And I had 35 students, and they looked at me with these big, loving, innocent eyes every day because they knew I had a history on MTV and whatnot. And they actually loved that hell that was in me out of me.
Oh, wow.
So what God wants to do is he wants to love this troubled world through us. And that's what he was doing through these kids and my family. I wanted to go to church. They took me to church. They had me tell my story in church. 700 Club heard my story, flew in, did my life story, hour of power. Then one day a worship director said, let's rekindle your career. And I said, what career? And he said, you just come to my studio Monday. And this is in Indianapolis. He said, I'm at the corner of 31 and Broadway in downtown Indy. And my cardboard box was at the corner of 31 and Broadway in downtown Los Angeles for 8 years. So another epiphany. And I had to go to the restroom, look in the mirror and say, look, I'm in. Use me. Within a few months, the scars on my legs one day, he said, look at your scars. I go into prisons and jails around the country. As soon as I roll up my sleeves, my pant legs, they see the injection sites and the convicts in there. They know that I'm the real deal. They shake their head and go, man, you shouldn't be alive. And that's but God. Yes. And so he gave me a purpose. One day, a little lady stands up in church and says, you ought to call your ministry Cardboard Box Ministries. I mean, the lights went on. It was a no-brainer. I spent 8 years in a cardboard box. And one little gig led to another. And then when the pupil's ready, he sends the teacher. And when the teacher's ready, he sends the pupil. So one by one, these Holy Spirit mentors would come. These mentors would come. I went to 3 years of Bible college, the School of Moses there in Carmel, Indiana. And it just didn't stop. And we would talk to addicts and their lights would go on. Mm-hmm. So finally, I read the book of Revelation. It said, lift by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So I started to get it that all my job was to go in and tell about Jesus, lift the name of Jesus, and tell my story.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, people said, well, if it can happen to him, maybe it can happen to me. And it's happened to hundreds of people through our ministry in the last, I'm celebrating 15 years clean without one trigger.
Congratulations.
I have been reborn. He touched my life. And I said, yes. And man, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
And God goes with you, before you. He knows your story. He knew you would say yes. And he is anointing you to move in your purpose. Praise God. Your music, you still play and you still sing. Is that correct?
4 years ago, the Lord moved me to Nashville, Tennessee. I met a producer here by the name of Mark Fain.
Uh-huh.
I write songs about addiction, recovery, homelessness. It's music with a message.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark, he liked the idea of this message of hope. And he brought in just guys that play with Reba and Dolly, and Steely Dan's background singers came in last week and sang on one, and Reba, Brooks and Dunn players. It's just amazing. And it's every time they come in and we do a good song, I have to just get away a minute and go, my gosh, you don't stop, do you? And I'm up in years now. I'm not a spring chicken no more. I'm in my middle 60s. So for me to be in this position right now and be writing fresh new songs, and I tell you a verse that's true in that Bible, there's a bunch of them, but this one sticks out to me. I'll give you back the years that the moths ate.
Amen.
I'm new debt. That is perfect for my life.
That is so
and
true.
And he knows the plans he has for you, and he wants to prosper you. And that Holy Spirit, once I got a piece of that Holy Spirit and he took up residence in my vessel, mm-hmm. all I have to do now is just walk in and slosh him on everybody.
It's contagious. It really is.
It make that COVID virus look like a bad cold.
That's right. That's right. So we've only got like 1 minute left. Is there any words you want to speak to someone that's out there that maybe they feel hopeless at this time?
In general, your area in Owensboro, you have recovery meetings, you have churches. I was born in Evansville, Indiana, and I would like to say that I would love to visit that area. We go everywhere nonstop, 365 days a year. If the doors open, I walk in it. No meeting is too big or small. Ministry is about that person that's right in front of you.
Yeah.
So if I can get the chance to come to your area, I would love to. And this is about loving people back to life.
Amen.
And that's so important to keep the door open and show them that you sincerely care about their recovery. And if you can get this Jesus, the real Jesus, if you can get it for yourself, it makes it a lot easier. You don't have to try so hard.
That's
you can
right.
You can buy a brother a hot dog and get him saved.
You're right. You are right. Bobby, it's been such a pleasure. I wish we had more time. You're going to have to come
Amen.
On again. But thank you so much for being such an inspiration to so many
You're
people.
Welcome. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. And thank you for listening. I'm Teresa Rowe. Everyone have a blessed day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Shaped by Faith with Teresa Rowe. Remember to visit shapedbyfaith.com to find out more about workouts, the TV show, podcasts, blogs, Shaped by Faith products, and much more.